Let's have a prayer.
Father, thank you for this morning. We thank you for this opportunity that we can all gather here together in one accord under your name, that we can bring up our loved ones, those who have special needs, those who have issues going on in their lives that are just troubling them, spiritual issues, Lord, that are just pulling them away into the world. We pray for each and every one of those. For these that are sick, Lord, you know the trials that they're going through. We pray for them, for relief and for healing. Those that have just lost their loved ones, Lord, that are grieving and having such a struggle with trying to now make a new life without someone that has been with them for so many years. We thank you again for our soldiers around the world who are giving up so much to give us this freedom that we enjoy here this morning. Don't let us take it for granted. Our leaders, Lord, as we see them turn further and further away from the truth of your word, and Lord, are not making decisions based upon things that would please you. We pray for them. Give them wisdom in these trying times, Lord. And pray for our pastor, all of our search committees, Lord, everybody that deals with the business of promoting your kingdom in this church. Guide and direct each and every one of them. Be with us now as we go to your word to learn more about you and how to better serve you. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen. Okay, y'all turn your Bibles to the 35th chapter of the book of Genesis. Chapter 35 is basically going to wind up the detailed life of Jacob here. Now, we're going to hear a little bit more about him as time goes on through the rest of Genesis. But he's going to really move out of the picture after chapter 35 here as being the center point and the focal point of this part of the book of Genesis, after chapter 35. And then we're going to move on into other things as the group that God has chosen, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and his sons, as they unfold on into making the nation of Israel, which again we see today. And that's the reason we're studying this book. It's the book of beginnings. If you don't understand the book of Genesis, I'm going to tell you right now, you will not understand the rest of the Bible. You won't even understand Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because it's based upon what started here in the book of Genesis. This is why it's so important. I'm spending a lot of time on it, and I hope you all are getting out of it what we need to get out of it so that we can build a foundation. Chapter 35. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there. Now notice, God gives him a command. Here Jacob has gotten all kinds of trouble. He's living somewhere he's not supposed to be living. Again, he hasn't listened to God. His two sons have wiped out a village up there of these two men who, man who raped their sister. So they took vengeance. Now they've wiped out this whole village of people. They stirred up all the natives around them, and they're all mad. So Jacob, God is telling him, now Jacob, now, I want you to get out of this mess, arise and go up to Bethel, and I want you to dwell there. God has given him specific instructions to get out and where to go live. He should have been there anyway. If he had gone there like God told him, they wouldn't have got into the mess they're into right now. And make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. He said, I want you to make another altar there, just like you did when you left many years ago when you were fleeing from your brother Esau when he had threatened to kill you. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you. You remember his wife Rachel stole the idols of her dad, and we went over that, how important that was to the families in those days. False idols, but she stole them. Her dad never found him. He went back home without his idols. She's probably still got them at this stage. Now, you say, why do these people, if they know God, why do they have these idols? Why are they dependent upon these pagan things? The actual word is teraphim. They were little old statues that they kept, and they thought it brought them prosperity and protection and all that. You know, they really didn't have all the written word of God. They didn't have any of the written word of God. The only communication they had with God was with men like Jacob when he talked to God, and then he told them what they said. But now they weren't without knowledge of God. But they still hung on to these things. And he said, listen, we're getting ready to go up to where God wants us to live. And he said, I want you to take these strange gods. He knew they all had them, floating around in their tents, under the beds. And he knew they were all there. He said, I want you to take them and be clean and change your garments. There's a lot of churches, you know, it's kind of interesting. You have the argument going today, well, it doesn't matter what you wear at church. I can go any way I want to, you know. Well, you might. If you haven't taken a bath and put your odor on, the next door guy that's sitting next to you might move 3 foot away from you. They have these cowboy churches. I know y'all have heard of them. I got a guy that I know, he plays music in these cowboy churches. And just whatever they came out of the crowd with on, that's the way they go to church. And, you know, in approaching God, if you notice in the Old Testament, throughout the Old Testament, just like when Moses was on Mount Sinai, God told them to wash their garments to get clean. I think when you come to worship God, you should come clean and neat and dressed appropriately for that occasion. All right? I don't see anywhere in Scripture God says it's okay for you to wallow in the world, look like the world, go out and clean out stables, and then come and worship Him somewhere as a group. I'm not saying He doesn't honor your worship, but I'm saying this. When you're coming before the King of the universe, you should honor Him in every respect that you have. Okay? And I notice this over and over. So these people that try to throw this stuff out of here, well, you can come as you are. It doesn't matter what you've got on. You know, I disagree with that wholeheartedly. I think God does expect when you approach Him to do it in a respectful manner. That includes your clothes. Now, if your clothes got a hole in it, that doesn't matter. But make them clean, okay? I will make thee an offering to God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the day which I went. He said, I'm going to go back to Bethel. I'm going to build an altar there just like I did before. When I left there, and God has protected me all of these years, I'm going to build another altar there. So I want you to get all cleaned up, get rid of these teraphim that you've got. We don't need those things. Any questions? Verse 4. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods, those idols, which were in their hand, all their earrings, which were in their ears. Now, why are they giving up earrings? I mean, ladies, you have to give up earrings. Those earrings that he's talking about there in this scripture here were earrings that denoted their affiliation or their worship to these strange gods. It was an outward appearance, an outward sign that they had worshipped or did put dependence upon these false idols and these false gods. So Jacob said, hey, get rid of those things. You know, get them out of your ears and let's get rid of them. Go ahead. Yeah. That's right. He warned them to get rid of anything in any way in their life that would take their affection that belonged to God away from Him. That's what an idol really is. It's anything that takes your affection away from God that belongs to Him. Now, in this day and time, we don't have statues or idols that we bow down to and worship. They have a lot of those in the Orient and other places. But we do have things here that we worship. Some people worship cars. Some people worship houses. Some people worship money. And on and on and on. Those things can be an idol too. An idol is anything that takes the affection that belongs to God. That's an idol. So if you have anything like that, get rid of it. Okay? So that you don't have the temptation. He said, I want you to get rid of all these things, the earrings in your ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak, which was by Shechem. Now, what he should have done is, again, he makes a mistake here. He goes and buries these things. Now, in a weak moment, somebody could go back there and remember where he had them and dig them back up and say, oh man, I've got my thing back in my hand here again. He should have destroyed the things. He should have burned them and melted the earrings down and just got rid of the whole thing so you can't ever use them again. So any idol that you have in your life, get rid of it in a manner so that it won't tempt you again. Now you have to be careful with some of those things.
What the earrings that's worn, that's Spirit of Stain were they to represent the charm to ward off evil?
Yeah, they were fetishes. They would use as fetishes as good luck charm, but they also had representations in the way they were made, designation to certain gods as well. It was an outward sign. So, it's like back in the 1960s, if I remember back that far, 1960s, when all these people came out with this peace symbol. So what it represented, no, it didn't represent peace, it's a broken cross. The designation of what it really meant came out in the Middle Ages. It was a demonic symbol used by Satan worshippers. And it still is today. I would never let my children have anything to do with it. One of my girls bought a pair of earrings with those things on there, and that, you know, the way they went. So I said, "You all, I know you don't understand what they really are, but here's what it really represents." And it's coming back again today. Verse 5. "And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob." Now these people were mad, they were upset at what they had done to their fellow villagers, but God put the fear in them so that they did not touch Jacob and his family. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, and is Bethel. He and all the people that were with him, he finally arrives where he's supposed to. "And he built there an altar and called the place El Beth-El." The translation of that would be "the mighty God of the house of God." Would be an English translation. "Because their God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died. And she was buried beneath Bethel under the oak. And the name of it is called Al-Lon-Ba-Chuk." That means the oak of weeping. That's what they meant. Now Deborah was Rebekah, his mother's nurse. She's the one that left and came with her when she married Isaac. So she had, that was about 150 years had gone by. Those people lived old. So 150 years had gone by since Deborah came with her lady, Rebecca, and to take care of her there. So remember, when Jacob was little, she was really his nurse. She took care of him kind of like a nurse would, and she was one of his favorites. His mother's dead now, but now this favorite person that he has in his life, you know, if you had somebody like that in your life, I did. I had a colored lady. Her name was Leah. She died about a month ago. But she was kind of like a nurse to me. My mother was very ill, and she would come and help take care of me and my sister when we were very small. Loved her dearly, just like a mother to me. But she has died now, and they buried her. "And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan-Aram and blessed him." God appears to me. God continues to appear to Jacob from time to time, to show him up, give him strength, give him a little boost of courage, you know. "And God said unto him, Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel." Last week, there was one of the Arab leaders got up and made this statement on TV. He said, "I don't know where the Jews think they get this land from, but," he said, "this land has always belonged to the Arabs, and it belongs to us now." Well, I got news for him. He needs to do a little history. And God will make it well known to him one day that it does belong to the Arabs in a very forceful manner. Verse 11. "And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation, a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins." God reiterates the promise he made to him over and over and over. "Jacob, I'm going to make of you a great nation. I want to make many people, more than you can even number. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee will I give it, to thy seed after thee will I give the land." Now that's the very land that over there the Arabs are claiming never belonged to the Jews to start with. They're doing everything they can to eradicate and destroy any reference to the Jewish ancient people that they can find over there, including around the Temple Mount. Anybody have any questions so far?
Carl?
Yes.
We see so much written about Jacob. Do you think there were other men of this time that God spoke to and dealt with that the Bible just doesn't record? Or do you think that the Bible records most everybody that he dealt with?
The question is, do we think that maybe Jacob and Abraham and Isaac, and are those the only men that God included in his communication one-on-one that are mentioned in Scripture? Are there any others that could possibly be in communication with God that we're just not told about? There is that possibility. We don't know.
What's your feelings?
My feelings are there could possibly be. It's just like the, it's like the incident with Melchizedek. That's the only time we ever hear of him, but he was a great king priest. What all really is about that man, we really don't know. God communicated with him. So we really don't know. I'll say this. What we have written down here is the communication with man that God wants us to know about. Okay? If you had other communication with other people, which is a possibility, he didn't need it recorded for our sake. This is why we have this written word. It's for us to study, to learn, to grow in grace and knowledge. Okay? Anybody else have any questions? There's a lot of things that God doesn't tell us, I've told you before, that He doesn't tell us because we really don't have a need to know. He tells us what we do need to know. So many people want to worry about what He doesn't tell us. Hey, let's take care of what He did tell us. That's the main thing. And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, a pillar of stone. He poured out a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. This is very significant. The pillar is made out of stone. Christ is the rock. The pillar represents Christ, the Messiah, the one that would come, the one that had been promised. The drink offering usually was wine, poured out representing the blood, the shed blood of Christ. Again, these pictures and types are in the Old Testament. The oil that's being poured out, oil anytime you see it in Scripture represents the Holy Spirit. After the blood is shed of Christ, then the Holy Spirit is poured out upon mankind. We have Him today living in us. So that's what that's all about. It shows the whole picture of redemption. Christ the rock coming, shedding His blood, the Holy Spirit being poured out when He goes back to heaven, and now we have Him in us today, living in us. Any questions on that? Okay. And Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him Bethel. They journeyed from Bethel, and there was put a little way to come to Ephrathah, and Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. Ephrathah is, by the way, is Bethlehem. That's an old name for the city of Bethlehem. Now Rachel here is getting ready to have another child. It came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said unto her, "Fear not, thou shalt have this son also." Even though the birth was going bad, the midwife told us, "Okay, you're going to have this baby anyhow." And it came to pass as her soul was in departing. That word soul again means life. When her life or her soul was in departing, she was dying. For she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. The term, the word Benoni means the son of the right hand. But Jacob changed his name to Benjamin. And Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrathah, which is Bethlehem. Now she's the one great love that he had in the wife, and she was never buried where he was buried. He was buried to Hebron later on when he dies. But she's the one great one that he loved so dearly, and yet he did not get to be buried by her later on in life. He loved her more than anybody else later. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave. That is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. Even in the time Moses wrote this, her grave was still well known where it was. And Israel journeyed and spread his tent beyond the tower of Eder. And it came to pass when Israel dwelt in that land that Reuben... You know, Jacob just has one crisis after another. Anytime you think you've got a crisis in your life, go back and look at the crisis that Jacob had. I mean, they just come one after another, after another, after another. Now, Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard it. Now here his oldest son, Reuben, now goes and takes his concubine who has two children by him, and now he goes and sleeps with his concubine. I mean, not that he didn't have enough trouble as it was. This man goes and sleeps with the mother of two of his half-brothers. Now it says here that Israel knew it, but he doesn't make any big deal out of it. He doesn't make an issue about it. We don't know why. Now the sons of Jacob were 12. The sons of Leah, Reuben, again he was the oldest. He's the one just committed this atrocity in the family. Jacob's firstborn, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, the sons of Rachel, Joseph and Benjamin. She only had two. The sons of Bilhah, that's the lady that Reuben goes and sleeps with. Rachel's handmaid, she had Dan and Naphtali. And the sons of Zilpah, Leah's handmaid, Gad, Asher, these are the sons of Jacob which were born to him in Padan. And Jacob came unto Isaac his father, unto Mamre, unto the city of Arba, which is Hebron. Now this is where their graves are still there today. Hebron is controlled by the Arabs. When they're in a good mood, they'll let some Jews go visit the patriarch's grave. When they're in a bad mood, they won't let them. If you want to go over there and see Abraham's grave and visit there in Hebron, it just depends on what attitude they're in that day. So you never know. Where Abraham and Isaac sojourned. The days of Isaac were 104 years. He was 180 years old. Isaac gave up the ghost and died, was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. Now they get back together again. Remember, Jacob told Esau, yeah, I'm going to come visit you over there where you are in Eden, but he never did. So when their father dies, then Esau comes back and he and Jacob then bury Isaac back there at Hebron where his grave still is today. Are there any questions? Let me go over something here with you just a minute. Let me show you what Jacob gave up in his sojourn here. A lot of this was caused, again, by him not obeying God. You know, Christians think you can get away by not obeying God. God won't see it, or God doesn't think too much about it. It's not a big issue. But it will cost you in the long run, I promise you. God is just. But listen to these things here that Jacob lost in his travels. Deborah, when he gets back home, his beloved nurse, she dies. He lost her. Rachel, the wife that he loved more than anybody else on the face of the earth, she dies in childbirth. Dinah, his only daughter, she had been raped. She had been shamed, living in disgrace in his tent. As far as we know, we don't hear anything else about her. As far as we know, she went down into Egypt when Joseph was down there, and we don't ever hear anything else from her again. She lives the rest of her life in heartache and shame. His two sons, Levi and Simeon, they deceitful murderers, wiped out a whole village in vengeance of their sister. Isaac, his old father, is blind and hadn't seen in years. Reuben disgraces the whole family by sleeping with one of his concubines, who's had two of his half-brothers. So it just goes on and on and on, the tragedy in Jacob's life. He was a peace-loving man, but he had tragedy after tragedy after tragedy in his life. So when you think you're having a hard time, go back and take a look at Jacob's life and what he went through. Not a lot of it was his own fault. The way he lived. Okay? We bring a lot of these things on ourselves. Now next week, chapter 36, we get into a deep dissertation about Esau. You say, well, why is that important? Because Esau, being the brother of Jacob, has a great conflict down through the centuries with his brother, which is the nation of Israel and the Edomites. And that conflict is still going on today, and we need to understand that. Anybody have any comments or questions? We're going to take up an offer next week, get our coffers built back up for needs that we have in class. And I'll go over that with you next Sunday. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this study of Jacob and all the things that he went through, the trials of life. Even though he was your man, he was not exempt from these things. And as we have him, Lord, let us remember that just because we're your child doesn't exempt us from the trials of living a daily life here. Let us always remember to trust you with our life, with the outcome, and the things, Lord, that you would have us to be in the end. Let us take these things and strengthen our lives, clean up what we need to clean up. And again, Lord, for the many blessings and all the people that we have mentioned here to you this morning, we just lift them up to you in your holy and precious name, Lord. We ask these things. Amen. Y'all have a great week and call me if you need.